Thank you guys for sharing with us this morning. I heard recently about a pastor and his wife out in a community, and one day they went down to the side of the road and they stood there with signs. One sign said, "The end is near." The other sign said, "Turn back before it's too late." In a few minutes, a car came by real slow and slowed down so they could read the signs. They rolled down the window and said, "You're religious nuts!" About 20 seconds later, the pastor and his wife heard screaming, a crash, and an explosion. The wife looked at the pastor and said, "Maybe the bridge is out would have been a better sign." You know, sometimes the signs of the time are right before our eyes, but we can't see them. Matter of fact, Jesus even said in his day, he said, listen, a lot of you know how to look at the sky and tell what the weather is, but he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 3, he said, "But you cannot interpret the signs of the time." We've been talking about last week, we started talking about the beginning of the end. And if you look closely at what's happening in our world today, you can tell very clearly if you have wisdom enough to see and biblical insight enough to know that we are now entering that stage of the beginning of the end. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to actually read the first couple of verses there that we talked about last week, just to sort of get us a running start into where we're going. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through the 14th verse. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. I want to just stop here. At that point, the temple in Jerusalem was the biggest building in the world. There was nothing, anything bigger or more elaborate than that temple. Then it says, "But he answered them, 'You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.' And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom," there's that kingdom again, "will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Let's pray. Father, I pray today that you would give us wisdom enough to see the signs that are before us. God, I pray that you would give us spiritual sense to recognize the moment that we live in, and that the days are growing shorter and the time is running out, and today is your day. Now is our time. God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus here does what only Jesus can do. The only one in the world that can do something like this. Jesus does the amazing here. He is going to tell about three events, and what's amazing is they all kind of line up together. He's going to talk about the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. He's going to talk about his coming, and he's going to talk about the end of the age. And so as you read this, you have to understand he's talking about three parallel events, but they all have some of the same similarities in them. Just a couple of things. We talked at length last week about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. They say, hey, look at this temple, Jesus. Look at this amazing place. There is nothing like this on earth. Jesus said, listen, it won't be long before not one stone's going to be left on top of another. And as you continue to read what Jesus says, it is amazing when you see the historical evidence of what happened. That one of the things, you know, one of the things that happened when the Roman army surrounds Jerusalem and they're going to storm the city. But false prophets went to the temple daily and said this to all the Jews that were inside Jerusalem. Don't worry. God's going to help us. We're God's chosen people. He's not going to let anything bad happen to us. Just a few months later, everybody in the city was dead. Josephus said that the blood was up to your knees running down the streets. Another interesting thing that Jesus says, mentions in verse 19, we didn't read. He said this. He said, woe unto those women in those days who have children or are nursing. Josephus said what happened is the Romans surrounded them and they starved them out. And you know what people begin to do? They begin to steal babies and cook them and eat them. Specifically, who in the world would even try to prophesy something like this? And it comes exactly the way they said it. Interesting, Josephus is not a believer in Jesus Christ. He's simply a general who had been captured by the Romans. He was in prison for 2 years, and the Romans said, you come with us, we need a translator. And he began to write down everything that he saw. And one of the phrases that he used when he got inside the city of Jerusalem, he said, there has never been tribulation like this since the beginning of time. And if you look at verse 21 in the Bible, it's almost the exact same language. The city of Jerusalem was completely leveled. And Jesus begins to draw some parallels to what happened at the city of Jerusalem, to what it's going to be like when he comes again, and what it's going to be like when the end of the age falls upon us. And so the first thing I want you to point out to you today is Jesus said this. He said, verse 4, see that no one leads you astray. One of the things that's going to happen in the last times, in the last days, it's just what happened in the city of Jerusalem. There will be false prophets. It's interesting that you see right here, because what the Bible says here is amazing. It says, verse 5, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Do you let that sink in for a second? Jesus said, they're going to come in the name of Jesus. They're going to come in my name. And they're going to lead many astray. Deception in the church. The enemy has infiltrated us. And one of the things that we know today is, listen, they're going to be saying peace and safety when there is no peace and safety. If you listen to somebody who always talks positively, and they never talk about sin, and they never talk about wickedness, and they don't ever talk about anything bad, they're false prophets. If they say God wants everybody to be rich, they're liars. And what's also, not only is there deception, but notice their position. It says, in Jesus' name. You hear these guys talk about prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Listen, there's more to prosperity than just having a pile of money in the bank. Amen? Having peace and joy and hope. That's real prosperity, because the other stuff can disappear in a second. Notice their prominence. It says in verse 11, they will rise. Not only are their position, they're coming in Jesus' name, but listen, they're going to be the most popular preachers there are. People are going to come to them by the droves. You know why? Because they never say anything that ruffles anybody's feathers. I even remember I went to the most conservative seminary in the United States at the time, in the 80s. And you know what they even told us then? Don't preach on hell too much. Because if you do that, you're going to turn people off. Don't talk about the bad stuff in the Bible so much. Talk about the good stuff. Truth of the matter is, if you read it, guess what? There's good stuff and bad stuff in the Bible. Heaven's sweet, and hell is hot. Their position, I'm in Jesus' name. Their popularity, they rise up to the top. And their power. It says, verse 24 of this chapter, Jesus says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. Listen, just because somebody does a miracle doesn't necessarily mean they're from the Lord. God can use anything to do a miracle. You know that? He can use a stick. He can use a donkey. I'm about living proof of that, aren't I? He can do whatever. Because he's God. And he doesn't need us to do anything for him. Lamentations chapter 2 verse 14, just before the people of Israel were assaulted, said this, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They've not exposed your iniquity to help restore your fortune. Jesus said one of the signs that's going to happen, you can be sure of, is there's going to be deception like you wouldn't believe. Matter of fact, Jesus even says this later on. If he did not stop the end of the age, even the very elect, even believers, would be deceived. The second thing that Jesus says, not only is there going to be deception, but there's going to be discord. He says in these verses, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Right now there are wars going on in the Middle East, in Iran, Iraq, Turkey, the Persian Gulf. Right now China and America are in a cold war with one another that could turn into something more. In our own country. I've never seen so much discord in my life. I'm not old. But in our own country right now, there is a race war going on or being promoted. There's a class war that's being pushed upon us. And there's a truth war going on. And you have to be smart as a whip to be able to decipher what you see on TV, because it's all lies. It's a fragment of what the reality is. I was talking to a guy yesterday, just got back from Texas. He said, what they show on the news is not even a fraction of the chaos and disaster that's going on down there. The news you see on TV today is not simply a rehash of what happened yesterday, but it is a sign of the times that we are in the beginning of the end. Jesus said there's going to be deception, there'll be discord, and there'll be disaster. He said there's going to be famines and earthquakes in various places. I have to be honest with you, I waited till this morning to do it. But I was reading that, and I was thinking about it, and I was going like, I don't know about famines, seriously? If we get in a bad famine, I'll be one of the last people standing, heavy as I am. But you know what I read? It shocked me. The UN, I don't even trust what they say most of the time, but I read it in about 7 different publications, Reuters and everywhere. They predict that the year 2021 will be the greatest disaster of famine that the world has ever known. And matter of fact, you know what they even use? They use the words that famine of biblical proportions are happening right now. A lot of it right through the middle section of Africa, over into Madagascar, and then across part of the Middle East. People starving to death. And they say that even with the problems that we're having with our shipping systems in America, it said it very likely could spill over into America and people panic because there's nothing left on the shelves. Earthquakes in various places. You sort of forget when you don't experience famine and you don't see famine, you don't even see it on TV any longer. You forget that it's out there. And the same with earthquakes, you know? Earthquakes happen somewhere else. But did you know that in the last 24 hours there have been 118 earthquakes? In the last week there have been 949 earthquakes. In the last month there have been about 4,800 and something earthquakes. And in the last year, there have been over 59,000 earthquakes. The Geological Service says this, since the year 2004, increase in earthquakes have expanded like never before in history. And they said, it's just a coincidence. Let me give you something for free. Write it down. There's no such thing in this world as accidents or coincidence. Everything that happens is divine providence. There's a God that's running the show. And he said, listen, one of the things you're going to notice is when it gets close to the end of the age and my return, there is going to be an increase in earthquakes like you've never seen before. Jesus talks about deception. He talks about discord. He talks about disaster. And then he talks about distress. He said, this is the beginning of birth pains, verse 8. Birth pains, even for people dumb as me, understand that it speaks of both the frequency and intensity of a situation. In the Bible, birth pains are rooted, this idea of birth pains that Jesus used, is rooted in the Old Testament. It is the language of intense suffering. It's the language of pain beyond your ability to bear. The Bible says, Isaiah 13, verse 8, they will be dismayed. Pains and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. The Bible says in Isaiah 21, verse 3, therefore my loins are filled with anguish. Pains have seized me like the pains of a woman in labor. I am bowed down so that I cannot hear. I am dismayed so I cannot see. What I think we all need to understand as we come, listen, the intensity gets so bad that you may not be able, like the Bible writer says, see that we're in the end of times. I close this morning with this. About 2,600 years ago, the most powerful man in the world was sitting at a throne with all of his best friends having a wonderful feast. There was a celebration going on. It was a wonderful time. Music was playing. There was dancing and singing and wine was flowing freely. Everyone was having a fantastic time. And in the middle of all of that, a hand came up on the wall and it began to write. The king saw it and he started shaking, but he couldn't understand it. He brought in all his prophets and scholars and they all looked at it and they read it, but they couldn't understand it. So finally they went and got the old prophet Daniel, brought him in and said, "Can you tell us what it means?" And he read it. It said, "Many, many tekel upharsin." Your days are numbered. You've been weighed in the balance. And you've been found wanting. Your days are numbered. You've been weighed in the balance. And you don't have what it takes to stand before God. You know what the king did? He said, "Get that religious kook out of here." They turned the music up louder. They danced faster and drank more wine. And what he did not know, as that was going on, the Medes had blocked up the Euphrates River that flowed right into the city of Babylon. While they were in there singing, an army was crawling under the wall. And that very night, the king lost his life, lost his kingdom, because he could not read the signs of the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know who we are. God, you see our lives. Nothing is hidden from you. The Bible declares even, Lord, that all the days of our life have been written down before one of them's come to be. God, there's coming a time when my kingdom's going to come to an end. There's going to be a time when my age comes to an end. And everybody else in this room, there's going to be that time. Father, you today have allowed us once again to see the signs of our times and the signs of your times. And God, that we are living in the beginning of the end. God, I pray that today that every person in here knows that they know that they know that they know that Jesus is their Savior. They've dedicated, they've surrendered their lives to Him. And they are trusting in Him and Him alone to get them to eternity. In your name I pray. Amen. Jesus said this gospel must be preached to the end of the world. It has. With the rise of the internet and everything else, media we have, it's touched every place in this planet. If you want to hear about it, you can. Even in places like Iran, where it's against the law, they pump stations here in Iranian communities up in Michigan, send signals over there, TV all the time that they can watch. But Jesus said this gospel must be preached. There's scary news, but there's good news. The gospel means good news. And good news, by its very word, good news, news is something that's already happened. Something that's already done, something in the past. Not something you need to do. Good news is something that's already happened, that's already been done, already been taken care of. That's good news. And Jesus took care of everything. He said on the cross, it is finished. It means paid in full. It's all taken care of. It's all been done. There's nothing else to do. There's no work that you need to do. There's no church you need to necessarily join. There's no baptism or anything else. It's all been done by Jesus. And we simply say, God, we want it. We believe it. We trust in you. We believe, trust in what you've done for us. And when you do that, man, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you get to share that good news of the kingdom in your world everywhere you go. It's all been done. And he did it all. That's good news. I don't have to do it. Somebody said to me the other day, I thought you were a preacher. You acting like that? I said, listen, the reason I'm telling people about Jesus is because I need Jesus more than anybody. I need him. Because if it gets weighed in the balance, I'll be just like that king. I'll be found wanting. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Listen, if you say, listen, I want to go to heaven. I hope to go to heaven, but I don't know for sure. Listen, today's the day to find out. Today's the day to get it right. Because you don't know what the times say. You heard one of the signs. Today's the day. Would you stand with me and sing? If you need to do business with the Lord, there's an altar here. You need to get things right with him. You need to come and lay it on the altar. Today's the day.